Lord, we thank you for this wonderful day. And Father, I thank you for what you've laid upon my heart. The fundamental steps of the Holy Spirit, Father, is what you spoke in my heart. And Father, we need those fundamental steps. Believe that you move through your mighty hand and, yes, through your mind, your spirit, your blessing, Lord. We thank you. Help us to develop ourselves to the place that you would have us be. Father, that we might always remain faithful to thy eyes. Lord, that we might be that one that you cherish, that one that you love. Father, help us to strive for that place. And we thank you for this wonderful night. I thank you for your mighty help. Lord, I thank you for what you've helped me through this day. And I thank you, oh, for the privilege of just knowing you. And Father, I'm not worthy of nothing. I'm the lowest of all, Father. But you seem to love me, and I thank you so much for it. I thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Well, just between the house and here, which isn't very far, that was strictly blank. The Spirit of the Lord just very quickly started speaking about the position of the Holy Spirit. And he has been since the very beginning when the worlds were brought into existence, but moved upon by the Spirit of God, very special part of God that God reserves as his mighty workhorse, basically. He's that one that gives that up, that because the Father is on the throne, and yet he sees everything, knows everything, but his Spirit of God goes out and moves on upon the face of the deep. He moved upon Jesus, and when the enemy came against Jesus in the 40 days, and all these times, the wonderful Spirit of God is so, and he's never ever mentioned really, and never really positioned as anything mighty, but he is God himself. And he's that hidden person, his hidden part of God that many people want to put down, many people want to reject, to mishandle him. And he is the only, this is all from me right now. I've searched the Bible over and over and over, and he is the only position in the whole Bible. It's unforgivable what we do against him. So it's a very special, we need to have like very carefully when we move in the Spirit of God. Because Jesus says, all other things shall be forgiven. Killing, murders shall be forgiven. Adulterers, whoremongers, sorcerers, liars, drunkards, all the other things, envy, strife, all these shall be forgiven, but nothing, no one that comes against the Spirit of God. So, you know, it really puts in a very hard light what's taking place in the world today. Because if we say something that's damaging to the Spirit of God, it's however God reads it. So it's a very special area, but it's a wonderful, he's the help. He's our strength. And he moved on all of the key positions upon the Bible characters by the Spirit of God. Moses was moved on by the Spirit of God. Aaron, and it goes down to each one. Esther and Ruth and all these ones was moved on by the Spirit of God. It was the mouthpiece of God that went out and did this work to his beloved. And it's sort of like a work vessel to come out and do the things that bring things into position. You know, when we have great positions, we always got to have that one and go out and do the work. A lot of times we have these, even in, I imagine, offices, there's somebody that's just sort of get here and there and everywhere else, you know, and be pretty much fit in any place you're at. And that's what the Spirit of God is. He is beyond imagination. He is God himself. And he is that liberty. He's that special strength. And he's the one that can help even from the very beginning against the tempter, against the evil one that comes against. That's why it was no surprise to him when Jesus was going, because he was there right with Jesus. And when the enemy really come against Jesus, but Jesus says that his word would come against him. And Jesus stood in the presence of the Spirit of God. And I think that we need that liberty today. And the early church was moved on by the Spirit of God. And then we're going to move up sort of rapidly, because I believe this all the way through, even through the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was moved on very much by the Spirit of God. And Peter, mightily, you read the book of Peter, it says he really says some things that's very realized. He doesn't let anybody know that he's anything questionable. He just puts it like it is. He believes in the Spirit of God. And a lot of the others, John the Beloved, believed in the Spirit of God. 14, 15, 16 chapter of St. John declares this movement of the Spirit. So with this, all of God's people, as I see it, and the Lord was speaking to my heart, should be moving through the Spirit. Basically. Unless they're in an A church, and an A church is the cold church. Spirit-filled church, the hot ones and the cold ones. Hot or lukewarm. And God says He's going to kick us out, basically. Speedy out. That's pretty strong message. And I've been studying the book of Revelation for now about 3 months over the same ground. And God keeps bringing that same part back, that we have to be moved upon by the Spirit of God because we have a nakedness. And it's in the third chapter of Revelation. But it says, talks about that our nakedness must not be, our shame be seen in us. Because there's something about our nakedness is not holy before God. It says our righteousness is filthy rags. And I don't know, I hope this is getting over to you, but we really need that purity of the Spirit. The other way, we're walking in a loose condition and a realm that's not really positive. And I would like to declare here that I really believe in this last hour that God wants us to be positive about our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It shouldn't be a questionable situation. It should be pronounced, I wish to do this for God. And God will bless that. Because in any time that we're a little bit wavery or shaky, we're not solid. And when we're not solid, that means we're movable. We're questionable. And the Bible said, be strong in the Lord and the power of might put you on the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. Why God says that, there's an element that comes against every person. And it's the spirit of the Antichrist. It's the spirit of the enemy. He comes to kill, destroy, and to steal. He comes to kill your dog. Or to blame anything that he can say is wrong, he comes to do it. He comes to give you bad thoughts. He comes to give you a bad day. But you know, you should buzz off. I'm going to have a good day anyway. And that's the truth. We got to work our salvation with fear and with tremblingness. It does say we need to walk in spirit. There's also a lot of it that we must do within our minds. It says he will keep us in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because we trust in thee. Trusting is, there's nothing can, when you trust, it's solid. You're not shaken. That's just the way it is. And if there's any question mark in it, then you're not solid. You're shaky. You're trembling. And Bible says in these areas we can sink because we're not on the solid rock. Because we're on quicksand. Basically our life won't carry the load that's going to be put upon us. You know, you can take a big truck and put big tires on it, and it'll go out here and have good flotation across marshes and everything. But you start putting heavier loads, it's going to push those even the big, super big tires down because of the extra weight. And that's the way we are in life. We can have a big flotation situation, go through anything, but unless we keep that every weight of sin beyond for our carrying it, we can't handle it. The Bible says, lay aside every weight and sin that so easily beset us and help us run that race with patience. There is beasts of burdens like the donkey and probably more so than even the horse, but they carry great loads for a small per pound. And I think there's some of these insects they say that can carry tremendous amount of weight. Some of the ant and that can pull a lot of weight according to their body size. And there's some people that's even the natural can pull more weight than another person can if you went out here to pull in weight. But the Bible says, lay aside everything that does ease beset us. So we shouldn't be saying, I've got a great big super hauler that can haul anything. We should say, no, I'm weak in that area, and I don't wish to have any burden upon my vehicle at all. Because, you know, even though we can support that weight, some of it makes stains. You might be hauling something that's got acid in it or something. I'm saying chemicals that leave stains. And that's the way our life is in life. So we think, well, we're so strong. We're so wonderful. And pretty soon we find out our character is marred. We're not a vessel no longer of praise. And just like Jesus said, he says, our clothing is shameful. We're naked. So when we think that we're strong, the Bible says we're weak. When we think we're weak, then we're strong. It's so a crisscross situation. When you think that you are, you're not. When you think you aren't, you are. This up here is what gives us the trouble. This is the part that gives us trouble. That's why we need the clarity of the Holy Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is sound judgment. There is sound classification. It classifies everything exactly in order as it should be classified. In your own classification, everything will be misled. It will be misshod. Many things will be incorrect. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is correctness. There is liberty. I know this is very low key here tonight, but this is what we really need. They become the stability points that we can live on in the Spirit of God. You know, many times people want to get so knowledgeable about this word. I know there's people that they're really smarter than anybody else. They're a doctor or somebody. Yes, we study this, but we don't study it as competition. We don't study it as being smarter. We don't do it. It's not for those reasons, because those reasons is what makes it all wrong. Now, what you get from it is lesson, but you don't use what that lesson to be a fulcrum to tell someone how mighty I am, because God don't gauge us that way. It's not what I know, it's what I do. What I have in me helps me to do what's righteousness. And if I can't get the righteousness to prove it out, then I've lost all what my aim was for in the first place. That I would lift up my hands with purity. That my conscience would be pure. That I would have glorious desires. That I wish to do the things of my Lord. That I would not want to attract any attention to myself. But I would want to lift up and be attracted to the Spirit of God. And He would get all glory. And that would be my desire in my heart, that I would not wish. I would want to not to be in that place of importance. I would want to be in the place of shadows. In the places of hiding under the garment of our Jesus. Living under His shadow. Living under His covenant. And see, there's a lot of people that don't like that. That's why a lot of people can't go in the military, because they cannot stand anyone to tell them what to do. They got to be the number one. But you're not number one. God can make you to be a good son or a good daughter. But I'm not saying the number one, because God is number one. And the Spirit of God, Jesus is number one. That's the works of the enemy when we get to feeling out of that place. When we feel like that we need to be something. When we don't think that we're special. That someone has to rub my back and say, oh boy, you're really something. No, I really don't. We should not need that. We need not need to applause the men. We need to applause and for lift up the loving God that's heaven. He's made this all possible. But it's a realm. It's not practiced in many of our places of worship, because the idea is when we humble ourselves, God can move upon you mightily. When you exalt yourself, you're in a place of a quick fall, a place of an accident, a place of failure, a place of losing out, a place of falling. Jesus said not to fall. Now unto Him is able to keep you from falling and present your life faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. See, God doesn't want you to fall. He wants you to have exceeding joy. He wants you to have that wonderful liberty. He wants you to have that involvement by the Spirit of God, that you flow through His Spirit, that you love through His Spirit. And people, that's what we need. Any difference what people says. It's what God says about us. And see, we have a tendency, we want to see what everybody's going to think about me, when it doesn't really make a difference. This last week, the Lord said, don't worry what anyone thinks about you. Think only what I think and want you. And I said, Lord, okay, thank you. You know, we're sort of like, we're made out of flesh. And God made us in a way that's very, He just pulls up basically out of dust, and He carved out Adam and put a spirit of God, spirit in him. Then He said, Adam, you're so loathsome. I will make you a helpmate. And so He gave us Eve. Well, He took the rib out of Adam, put into Eve, and so they become two. And everything at that time was really wonderful, because there was no sin upon this earth. It was just a place of wonderful things. I mean, God come down and visit you every afternoon in the cool of the afternoon. I mean, you just had super fun. Oh, Mike and Jennifer, He just come down and say, where are you? And He'd say, here are, wherever you are. Happy as could be. I mean, because the presence of God is so wonderful. And He was the one.
He made you listen to him, his likeness. So you knew that you represented him because in his fullness, because you were his child. And Adam had, I know he didn't even question that. He knew that God made him because he loved him. And after he says, yes, I did a good thing. And I gave him a good wife. But then, you know, this tempter, he come in the picture and he comes later and he thinks, well, I'm going to bring them down somehow. And there's a tree of knowledge. And God says, whatever you do, you kids, don't mess that tree. You can do anything else. Have fun out there. Just go every place. But stay away from that tree. And that's what we do sometimes. The more that people say us not to do something, the more that we want to do it. The more that they say, please don't do that, the more that we say, let's see what's going to happen. That's in the old man. And many young people get caught up in this. And we all will if we're not careful. And that's just that, got to know. We just got to know. And God says, it's not any business for you to know. And see, that's what's getting in the church. The same thing. We got to know. We got to make the rules. You know, we just got to. We're going to have the best church in town. And I'm not picking on nobody here. Now I feel the Spirit of God saying what I'm saying. They're pulling for the right things. We need to have the best church in town. And I'm glad they're thinking that way. But God wants it. And God is so loving that he wants it himself. See, it's not our church. He's only loaned it to us. And by getting us from sin up to where we are, we would have such love. Say, Lord, I want it your way. I desire you more than silver and gold. Lord, I desire you because you're real. I thank you, Lord, because you're faithful. I thank that you heal me, that you're my blessed Savior, my healer, my friend, my counselor, my mighty God, my mighty hope, my blessing forevermore. That should be in our hearts. But many times that's not in our hearts. In our heart is saying, no, we're not interested in that. We're interested in so-and-so. Because we're saying this. I've been on church boards. I know what it's all about. Well, they wouldn't consider, you couldn't even talk like we're talking now. And this is in some good churches, supposed to be. And I'm pretty sure about 90% of the churches are that way. Because I've been in a lot of them. And I was going along with it too until one day I really had an encounter with Jesus. And Jesus started showing me what I'm showing you here tonight. I want my church. It's not fair. I paid. Jesus said, he said, I paid for this church. I paid my life, and yet I give them that, what they're doing. They're doing their own little thing. They're getting their own little buzz. They're getting their own whatever they wish. And pretty soon, without the intention of the Spirit of God, they start losing. And when that losing, they start getting hardened. And that vessel up here starts getting harder. And it gets harder. And it gets like them water. When water gets on something cold, it freezes. And that's what the spirit of religion is, exactly. God, it's like a vessel that gets very cold, below minus 32. And we need that spirit of the hotness because it'll evaporate that water. And we'll go through it just like it won't bother us a bit. But that coldness will bring them down. And that coldness will stop your movements. You'll lose your joy. You lose your peace. Just exactly what I'm telling you. And this is after you receive the baptism. And it's such a terror. It's a death. And God's disappointed in his people because his people are spiritually died. That dream God showed me, those millions of people died, was what it was. People who had been full of the Spirit. And their elders told them, no, you can't do this. If you see God's picture now, then you'll see why God wants to say what he's saying. All those people are going to lose out. And they had a chance. And you see anybody drowning and going out in eternity, I would give my life for that. And this is what's happened in our church realm. Jesus is all the world to me. And if our spokesman cannot say that, they're wrong. And if they can't say, he is Lord, he is my Lord, he is my Savior, I wish him to speak through me and in me and about me and take time until it becomes developed, then we're absent in this area. And this area will pull us down to a place
The Bible says in that last day, unless he would shorten a day, the very elect would not be saved. That's what the Bible says. It says, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that enter thereat, because straight is the gate. And narrow is the way that leadeth to eternal life, and few there be that find it. God says, seek ye the Lord and his strength, seek his face forevermore. That should be in our being every day, that we seek the Lord in his strength every day. And we never stop seeking him, because the adversary is coming against us. We should sharpen our senses, our inner senses, that we desire heavenly gifts. That we don't want to be a sluggard that doesn't have any hope, that doesn't have any strength. But we want the mighty Spirit of God to flow through our being. And if God says this is wrong, then it's all wrong. The world is wrong. Sorry. But God is going to hold that standard. And there's one person, Brother Freedom's going to stay right with it, because I believe it's the only way. And all those anybody has to do is repent and go the other way, and there God will bring revival. He'll bring forth healing. He'll forgive. But when they go against the Holy Ghost, it's questionable. And that's why eight churches are a lot better off up the ladder, because they haven't got no problem. But up the ladder, we need to seek God. God's got a course for his church. He's got a direction for his church. He led Israel out of Egypt, but he led them as he wished. Moses could not go. Moses knew how to go from Egypt to the promised land, but he had to do it in God. And that's the way our whole being is. It's in God. I'm not trying to scare anyone. This is simple as I can get it tonight, and God can get it. But we need to start developing it, because God sees it as a mighty ruination to a mighty blessing. To could be a blessing. Glorious. But everybody gets so caught up in themselves that they're in the flesh. And the Bible says the flesh, they that's led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. The flesh cannot enter in. There's so many scriptures that bear up what God's saying. God makes us go sometimes study out the real complicated things to cope with the other things. But it simply is what we're just saying. In the flesh, we haven't got a prayer. Unless we're just a regular church. I think a regular church, they're cold. There's no move of the Spirit. But they're just doing it the mechanical way. Bless their hearts. And they sing 195 and 2 to 10. And, but that's the way our conventional churches, even the Pentecostal churches now, are the same way. It's the same thing. Because the Pentecostals about 40 years ago said we want to be just like our brothers, the shiny big churches. When they did, they bargained, but they lost. I'm not judging nobody, but I'm just letting everybody see a great picture that God will let you know it's real. It's honestly him. And he has spoken here tonight by his Spirit in a very low way that everyone through the world should be able to understand exactly where it's at. And God said, if I be for you, who can be against you? But if I'm not for you, you need to worry. And out there tonight, many need to worry. Many are not having a clean picture. God wants you to have a life of luxury in him, that you can live faithfully. God's here to touch you, to strengthen you, to uplift you, to glorify himself in you, that you might receive that adoption forever. Because you're not going to heaven unless you're changed here to get into heaven. Everybody has given this philosophy that we're going to get changed there. No, you're going to get changed here. You're going to get cleaned up here to go up there. And when you get up there, there's going to be different categories. But there must be some change that takes place here upon earth. But I really truly believe this message is probably as short as it is, as simple as it is, it's probably the top message that God's given. Because it's very to the point. If God be for you, who can be against you? But when that day comes, don't cry out and say, Lord, save us, because it's going to be all over. And that day is coming very short. And that's not very long to get things together. It's not very long to wait for eternity. You know, I mean, I could almost wait for eternity right now, because look what we're going to get. We're going to get a shininess, glorious. And if you're an overcomer, you're going to sit with Jesus on the throne.
Not that that's something, but what Jesus is greatest. It's going to be an honor above honors. It says it in Revelations. He that overcometh shall sit in my throne as I overcome and sat in my Father's throne with him, and you'll be basically with my Father and me also. What a mighty, colossal invitation. God's here not to punish, but he's here to bless. But there is a day coming that there will be punishment and there will be blessings. Hopefully the blessings will increase. Hopefully there's not just going to be a few make that wonderful day. We hope out there in the world tonight that many receive the gladness of Jesus Christ, the power of favor, the power of indoctrination in the Spirit of God, that our hearts would be set on the love of God. We'd be faithful to him through our thinking, our whole entire being. We'd lift up righteousness. God's the answer. And I don't want no one to go to hell. I want everybody that I know to go to be in heaven. But I've been finding out that in heaven, there's going to be a lot of babies in heaven. So there's going to be a lot of people that's just going to barely make it in. And I know this is real. God let me see this couples of times. So there's something to be sought for. And we think about making sure on our marriage, which is good, making your marriage be very best and all your, everything, your retirements, make sure they're up to date and your insurance, like your hospitalization and all these things. In case something happened, you know, you're all ready. You don't have to worry. You can go into the hospital and all your bills are paid and all these things that natural people work for and esteem for, that when that day of retirement, you'll have enough retirement to live at ease and all these things. But that's nothing compared to what we should have voiced in our spirit about the things of the Lord, because his will never leave us. This old ugly hand one of these days is going to be, God's going to reshape it. But I feel the presence of God tonight. God's here to bless. Father, I just pray for a mighty blessing on the world tonight. For all those hurt with this word, I know it's from heaven. And Lord, I knew tonight that you was going to speak. Father, I pray that you'd move mightily this night. Open the windows of heaven to your people. Let them receive you with gladness tonight. Let them see that atonement for forgiveness, Lord God. They wish to have you to be their director, their keeper, their waymaker. And Lord, I pray for a mighty blessing this night. I pray for a mighty keeping power from heaven. And Father, I pray that you'd heal those out there this night. For that one that's going through the times of testing right now, I pray that you'd bring deliverance to them in the wonderful name of Jesus. For those who have walked that straight and narrow, I pray that you'd bless them abundantly. And for that one that's gone through troublesome times and has tried to be an overcomer, I pray that you'd favor them, bless them, and enable them in a mighty way. And I pray for the mighty blessing from heaven to be upon America this night, and for the world this night, for those, because we're going home very shortly, Father God, and I pray this night for a mighty blessing upon your people. And Lord, we thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus, the name of every name, the name of Jesus, that wonderful name of heaven. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you that whatever things we shall bind upon earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever things we loose upon earth shall be loosed in heaven. Father, we pray that we'll bind the powers of darkness tonight, and we'd loose the Spirit of God in a mighty way for your people this night. And we claim it in the wonderful name of Jesus. In thy sovereign word, we claim it in Jesus' wonderful name. Bring revival to your people. Bring revival to your people. Bring healing to your people. Bring blessings to your people. And Father, we thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. When I had my neck healed, the Spirit of the Lord says it's going to take a while. And that's a healing. If it happens instantly, it's a miracle. Healings build your faith. Because as long as you keep believing with it, by the time then you'll know that helps you to grow in faith. And so that's why God uses it because in that way, because he starts out in that first step. Because you're part of that healing. And your faith determines how long it takes and how fast that healing comes. Now, miracles, they come instantaneous. But miracles, a lot of time, don't last because the miracles don't last because people, they took it too lightly. And so that miracle, but most people with healings, theirs lasts. Amen. Because they've lived with it. Yeah. So that's why a lot of times I think more blessed for a healing than a miracle, because you're part of it and you're going to hang on to that. Mm-hmm. And so, sometimes miracles, we can lose them. And it'll, a lot of miracles people lose. But a healing,
Gently, people, there'll be a lasting one. There'll be, and then that person will grow into a pillar for the Lord for a, some of the miracle it doesn't. He just sort of brags about it, and God really doesn't like that too well anyway. And we, and, you know, it's, if God's getting the credit, it's fine. There's a difference in the two. So I like to encourage people and heal them because it is, it's sometimes a spiritual blessing too. Your spiritual is more important than your physical blessing. Because your spiritual is the lasting. Jesus said it was better to make it to heaven without a hand and make heaven than have a hand, have both hands and not make it, or your foot or your eye or whatever. So that shows you right there that your spirit is more important.